We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, WILL, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, our technical director this morning, Jason Croft. On the program today, we're going to talk with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, I welcome your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. You can join us with a phone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. You can also join us by email. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see the two of you.
Good morning,
Welcome
Celeste.
Welcome back.
Happy 4th of July.
Yes, happy Independence Day.
I thought it was just the second.
Well, I won't
see
it.
Although, according to the radio, WILL, this is the day the
actual
Congress
signatures.
Voted to separate from England, but not the day they declared it, of course.
Thank you.
So that was a conversation starter. Yeah.
So here we are.
I know how to
here
stop.
We are, though, at the beginning of July, and it's been so comfortably cool.
Oh, it's so beautiful outside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, it's
I wouldn't
gorgeous.
Mind summer if it was like this all the time.
No, I wouldn't mind it either.
The dog days lie ahead.
That's yes. right. Tomorrow, I think it's supposed to get warm and muggy again tomorrow.
Well,
yeah, oh, and I hate air conditioning so much. I turn it on just for them. Because I like to hear the birds. I like to hear the outdoor sounds. You wait months for warm weather, and then I can't stand sealing the place up and turning the air on. But the dogs are uncomfortable, so they come first.
Yeah. You could walk outside.
Go. I can walk outside. That. I can sweat. They can't. And are all those phones lit up for real?
No. I think what we need to do is remind our technical director to... There we go. Thank you.
I thought my...
So if you got a busy signal...
I thought it was Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas in July. So if you got a busy signal, give us a call back at 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The lines were just tied up there for a practical matter here at the top of the hour.
Boy, is it deserted out there.
It's very quiet.
I just drove all the way across campus on Goodwin, which is normally just a horrible, impossible feat, and I made it in a nanosecond.
Wow, that's
nobody
fast.
There. You don't know. I was panicking that I was not going to be here on time. So
I wanted to let the listeners know that Carol has a golden and a doodle, and Jim and Robin, his wife, they have Malamutes. So just so that folks tuning in, maybe they
maybe
haven't heard
the first
you
time.
On Focus.
Maybe for the first mm-hmm. time they're listening.
Because we've made a move from the afternoon to the morning. First Friday.
It's going to take a while for that 11 o'clock time to
sink in.
To sink in. And I had my phone is set to alert me, but I had it turned off. So that's not good.
So.
Yeah, that's the thing about cell phones. If you have them turned off,
yes,
they're not very functional.
They're not very good.
Well, seeing as how the holiday is coming up and we're going to have fireworks going off and whatnot, maybe we could take a moment and kind of review that because some animals get very...
They don't understand fireworks. And Jim's lucky because he lives out in the country. It's the way I think of where you live. So he doesn't have to deal with fireworks displays in town, do you? Can you see them?
Oh, we can see them. And if we hold our breath, we can hear them. But it's not the loud boom that you
and
have in
I'm
town.
And since I'm city mouse, there's... fireworks going on all the time. They started, I was so mad. Today's Friday. A week ago yesterday, I heard somebody shooting off some firecrackers Thursday night. But anyway, neither here nor there. The dogs don't understand it. And whatever you do, don't take your dog to the fireworks. I think people like to incorporate them in everything they do. But that's one place that it's just not smart.
Okay. Why don't we come back to this topic in a moment?
Oh, sure.
Because we've got a listener who's waiting to talk with us, and we'll go and take this call now. Listeners, if you'd like to join us, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. A listener joins us this morning from Indiana. He or she is waiting on line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have something that probably has folklore behind it, but dogs eating grass. And my partner said, well, it means that they're sick. They're eating grass. And I went, okay. Then I just happened to go outside, and one of the cats was eating grass. So I thought I'm starting from ground zero on this question now. Is that any particular peculiarity, or is this dogs eat grass when they have a chance to do it? I have a black lab, and when he stretches out and lays out in the sun, he'll just systematically chew the grass that's around him, you know, almost cuts out on the oval at times if you let him go far enough or he gets up and change position. I was just wondering about it, and, of course, is the grass digestible? I mean, it is cellulose and everything. I was wondering if it just passed through the body, no big deal. And then I started thinking about getting caught in the convolution of intestines and stuff like that. So if you give me any enlightenment about it, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much. Dogs eat anything and everything. They will eat dirt, which usually isn't a problem. But they'll also eat pebbles and rocks sometimes. And I don't know why.
I have a pond. And several years ago, I made the huge mistake of planting trumpet vine on the fence. And trumpet vine, if you're familiar with it, once you plant it, you've got it forever. They love trumpet vine. And so the vine is around the pond, and they'll run out there and just chomp away on it. And they like it. They're not sick. It hasn't killed them, so
I don't know
why they do it.
It is true, though, that sometimes dogs will eat grass because their stomach is upset, and eating grass will often make them throw up. And if that's, you know, if they got something bad in their stomach, then that'll relieve the problem. But it sounds like your lab, if he's just laying down chewing the grass, he's doing it just because he's content. It's the grass is under, you know, is easy to chew because his mouth is right there, so he chews it. It doesn't sound like he's feeling particularly bad. In fact, it sounds, from the way you described it, he's feeling good.
And it's very normal for cats to eat grass because they even grow special cat grass for cats to chew on because cats like that.
And cats like catnip.
I think they like some vegetable matter now and then, so maybe that's why. Why didn't you? You're the cat person. What is it about that attraction to grass that cats have?
I don't know. And our cat actually likes to eat lettuce. And, you know, we got him when he was already 5 years old. So it was kind of a surprise as things came along in terms of getting to know him.
How did you happen to figure out that he liked lettuce?
He knows when I get the salad spinner out. He can hear it a mile away. And he comes charging down into the kitchen and sits at my feet, and if I'm not quick enough, he's up on his hind legs and one paw in the air saying, come on.
You need to video that and put it on YouTube.
Yeah. So, but the other thing is it's only certain lettuces. He will not eat romaine. But red leaf lettuce, he likes that.
What about iceberg?
Yeah, I think a little iceberg.
I've never heard
intriguing.
Of speaking of dogs.
But isn't that intriguing that a cat would like lettuce? And whoever had him before you must have fed him lettuce. So.
Yeah.
Well, one of the gentleman's questions was, you know, is it bad if they eat it? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes you see the grass in their stool.
And you definitely see it if they vomit.
But on the other hand, you do want to be careful what plants they're eating because
there are
plants that are hazardous to their health that are toxic.
One of my students told me that her dog was very ill, not as ill as could be, but threw up and had diarrhea, and she found mushrooms in his vomit. So he'd been eating mushrooms out in the yard.
And they've been plentiful this spring and summer. Let's take another call. This is a listener in Marseilles on line 4. Good morning.
Hello. Good to have you back.
Hi.
How's Casey?
Casey's doing good. He's 15. And he's still getting along. He's got a little arthritis. But I was so thrilled with your last show that you mentioned Casey. I told him all about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, each day I give him his little vitamin. I say, thank you, God, for another day. But I'm thinking about a dog, the next dog. I mean, because Casey's been so contrary with, you know, the alpha and wanting to bite and bite. He'll bite when he doesn't get his own way, and I'm kind of wimpy. I'm kind of scared to really get another dog. Do you think that another dog would sense that I'm don't want to be bit? And, I mean, I thought I would let someone else pick out a dog, maybe even a shelter dog or something, that would have the temperament that went with my wimpiness.
Oh, you know, nobody wants to be bitten, so don't be too hard on yourself, okay?
I know I don't want to be bit.
Yeah, he does.
And believe me, I've been bit, and I've gone to the hospital.
Oh, really?
A couple times.
Yeah.
So it is an unpleasant feeling when the dog is crunching on your arms.
Yeah.
One advantage of getting an older dog is, as opposed to a puppy, is that the older dog pretty much has his personality developed. So if you go to a shelter or go to some other place where they have older dogs available, you can see pretty much what their adult temperament is going to be like. Uh-huh. And that's always one of the problems of getting a puppy because, you know, we're breeders and we can make a very good guess about what the temperament of the puppy is going to be when it gets older. But, you know, who knows?
Uh-huh.
The way it grows up, if somebody mistakenly takes it to a fireworks display, that can profoundly change the direction of their temperament. But if you're thinking of another dog, what you might want to do is start visiting shelters and seeing what kinds of dogs are available.
Right. And I even thought maybe the shelter people, I really, you know, even thought that maybe an older person that had to go to a nursing home and, you know, they had a nice gentle dog, maybe a non-shedding, whatever kind of dog. And I don't think I want to repeat the loss of breed. I think they're kind of independent in any way. And I would like something to sit in my lap once in a while, and losses don't do that.
You know, I'm thinking of the perfect dog for you right now.
What's that?
A King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
Really? Now, a friend of mine has one, and it's really sweet.
They're very sweet-tempered dogs.
Uh-huh.
Non-shedding, no, not so much.
No.
But they were bred to be a lap dog, and that's exactly what they do.
Uh-huh.
They're wonderful little, and you can go through Cavalier Rescue.
Right, yeah, that's what I've supported our pet project here in Marseilles, doing fundraisers for them different times, but I've never really, I'm kind of like timid of the shelter dogs, you know, when they go out to feed them and stuff. I said, hey, I'll do the money part, you guys do the feeding.
Mm-hmm.
But so I know I'm wimpy. And my husband kind of is too. You know, like you said, you don't want to be bit. And then having Casey these 14, 15 years, it's been kind of a challenge, although we love him to death. But I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, and you know another nice breed is the English Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, the English Cocker. Now, my vet when I was there, Pet Project brought in 6 baby Cockers, and the mother was real sweet. And she said, Cocker Spaniel is not my favorite breed because they can be really kind of a nasty little dog. But you think not, huh?
Well, there's a difference between the English Cocker and the American Cocker.
Oh, okay, you're saying English Cocker.
Yeah, the American Cocker Spaniel, I think that years ago they did have some temperament issues.
Well, an American Cocker won Westminster, I think, in 1952 or 53.
Uh-huh.
What usually happens, they got overbred. And,
right,
I was bitten by a cocker when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
But they're better now. I think they've bred those temperament issues out of cockers.
Yeah, with their blindness and stuff. Yeah. But would it be a good idea then for me to let someone else pick the dog for me?
No.
Well,
I know what you're
saying.
I get
some advice. Yeah. You know, I get some advice, certainly. But right. you want to make sure you want the dog, too.
Yeah.
Right, but I meant as far as temperament was concerned, I mean, I've read books where you're supposed to be able to let him pick them up and hold them, and they don't squirm and try to get away, and then you
roll
over on their back.
That's with puppies.
Well, that's with puppies, and also puppies at a very specific age.
Oh, okay.
You do that's a puppy test, and you do that, or you should do it, on the 49th day.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that to an adult dog you're thinking of adopting.
Okay.
But you could, you know, you could work with your shelter personnel, and they know you,
uh-huh.
and tell them, okay, Casey's not going to be with me forever. But I'd like a small dog, and I'd like a small dog that's an adult, and I'd like a small dog that's got a very pleasing personality. And they will be on lookout for you.
Yeah.
And they'll call you when they get one that meets those needs.
Right.
And then you go in and meet the dog and see how you react or how you feel about him.
Yeah. Another question I have, and my husband would just die if he thought I asked this question. Is it over emotional? My last dog, the University of Illinois, did a necropsy on him because he was down there for medical reasons and they wanted him to put him to sleep themselves. Is it a waste of money to have that done? I mean, do you get your dog back in the ashes, or do they just do a whole bunch of them and you just get ashes back?
Oh, well, I can address the second part of that. You can specify cremation of your dog and get those ashes back rather than ashes from a mass cremation. That's your request.
Uh-huh. Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll let Jim...
I think that's called a private cremation.
Yes, and then I'll let Jim answer the... Because you'd necropsy a lot of your dogs.
We necropsy...
Most of them, don't you? If you lose them?
Almost all of them. It depends. But we're interested in what caused the death of the dog for purposes of breeding the next generation. And we want to see if the dog died of some genetic illness or otherwise. And we post, I can't say we post all of our dogs, but we post quite a few.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're curious as to why your dog died, then it's not a waste of time. On the other hand, for most people, I would say necropsy is something you really don't need.
Uh-huh.
Or if you lose a very young dog.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might want to know what happened. But if you, in Casey's case, he's 15. When he leaves, there would be no need for necropsy. He's just an elderly dog.
Right. But Bear, you know, we live in the woods here, and we just really kind of wanted to. We were kind of afraid if we didn't bury him deep enough, or we put him in a box or something. But something would dig him up. We have foxes, and we have coons, and we have a lot of animals around here. I wouldn't want to find Casey in the backyard again.
Yeah.
My husband would die if he heard me talking.
You can't say it wouldn't happen. It might. But if it occurred to me, I can't remember how many dogs. We probably have 12, 13 dogs cremated. And if you figure it's like $400 to $500 per dog.
We had this discussion one day, how much, like, many thousands of dollars you had invested in ashes.
Of dog ashes. Mm. And when Robin and I leave this mortal coil, whoever comes behind us at the estate sale is going to go, who wants all these dead dog ashes? And probably nobody.
Uh-huh.
You could take them with you.
Yeah, we buried the ashes then. We put it in a PVC pipe and sealed both ends and buried Lindy that way. After Illinois got done, they did the necropsy free because they wanted to send. He had superficial neolytic dermatitis, and they wanted to send the results to a doctor in New York. So, but Casey, it would just be that I didn't want him dug up in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are great.
Well,
thanks so
are
much.
You.
When I get another dog, I'll call you and let you know.
We'll be waiting for that.
Okay, I'm glad you're back on the air.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care. And next we take a call from a listener in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hi, this is Robin. I'm actually calling to remind Jim and Carol.
Oh,
I know.
We're going to say, dear. Remind us of what?
Health Day.
Health Day.
It was on my mental list, Robin.
Well, Robin, since you're on the phone, why don't you tell us about Health Day?
Mention it often.
That's a good suggestion. Go for it, Robin.
The Dog Training Club. And the Kennel Club, the local Champaign, Illinois Kennel Club, are hosting a Health Day at the Dog Training Club on July 10th.
That's going to have a week from tomorrow.
Right. Eye Clinic, Heart Clinic. Dr. Linda Harmon-Dodge is going to do acupuncture and chiropractic. Dr. Connie Brunkow is going to be doing vaccinations and microchipping. We're going to have a woman there that's going to do nails. We have a photographer coming, several booths for therapy dogs and the Humane Society. It's just going to be a day where if you need any health-related certifications or checkups on your pet, you can bring them out and get them done. the eye clinic and the surf and the heart clinic require reservations. And these are certifications from board-certified ophthalmologists and cardiologists. So they are the best people in their fields that are going to be doing these clinics, and the price is very, very reasonable.
Hey, Robin, a quick question for you. What sure. if somebody shows up and they didn't make a reservation? What if they know about the clinic but didn't have a contact?
We hopefully will have some walk-in spots for the eye clinic and the heart clinic, but we can't guarantee a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking reservations from 9 to 5 with a short lunch break, but if a person just shows up at, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we don't know if we'll have a spot mm-hmm. between 2 and 5 for them to get in.
Okay.
Can you make a reservation ahead of time, and how do you do that?
That's they would contact Merle and Carolyn Taylor. And I don't have their phone number on me because I don't have a flyer with me. I'm in the car.
Oh, good. You're talking while driving.
And looking for a flyer.
No. I'm sitting in the car with the air conditioner running in the parking lot at the vet clinic.
Okay.
So, no, I'm not driving. But darn it, I don't have their phone number.
Do you remember their email address?
Their
I know
email is JBRWK1.
At Prairie iNet.
At prairieinet.net.
Mm-hmm.
JBRWK1. At Prairie iNet. That's the word prairie with an I. Extra I at the end, and then net.net.
Okay.
Or they can go to our webpage.
Yes. The Dog Training Club webpage has a flyer on the health day. It's a link on it to the flyer. So all the information is on the flyer.
Okay.
There we go. That's good.
So...
DTCCU.net.
It's very reasonably priced for all of the different things that you can get done for your pet.
I think Lisa said she was trying to get a dog caricaturist, somebody to draw.
Someone there doing an artist doing some drawings too.
Oh, that's very cool.
I don't know if we got that person yet though.
A photographer, and as I say, all of these vet services plus different booths with information about things like therapy dogs. So it should
fun
be
for the whole family.
I beg your pardon?
Fun for the whole family was
right. And it's the dog training club facility is air conditioned, so it'll be comfortable for dogs and people even if the weather's hot.
Okay, very good.
Just about covers it all. That's good. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. This is Focus, and we're talking this morning with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. My name is Celeste Quinn, in for David Inge. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this morning with questions, comments about dogs, 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. We also have a toll-free number, that number 800-222-9455. And we also are available by email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
So how come you have the clock covered up with green construction paper?
How are we supposed to know what time it is?
Well, I can tell you what time it is. It's 11:30, and we're moving on to 11:31. There was a lightning strike that took out our clocks.
Wow.
So they're inaccurate. So rather than
rely on those
incorrect, we're relying on internet.
According to Albert Einstein, time is relative anyway, so you can say
not
whatever
in the radio
time
business.
In the broadcasting game. Okay, let's take some more calls. We've got three listeners ready to go here this morning. Line one, Urbana. Hi.
Hi. Regarding that first caller, looking for a non-shedding, easygoing dog, I got my first dog a couple years ago, and I found her. Actually, I met the breed at the local shelter, and then I found this dog through Pet Finder. Had never heard of it before. She's a Havanese.
Oh, they're wonderful little dogs.
Absolutely. They're known to be great therapy dogs. Mm-hmm. She's my first dog. She's been an absolute dream.
Mm-hmm.
She literally, you can, at her age, she's now three, you can pick her up on her back and hold her in the air with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't squirm. She lets toddlers stick their hands in her mouth, carry her upside down. She's outstanding. I had to go to Indianapolis to go get her at a shelter, at a rescue organization there.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have one here at the Humane Society. So.
Oh, and they're so cute.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. My, they're cute.
She's a dream, and she's non-shedding.
Mm-hmm.
So you get an easygoing dog, non-shedding, known to be great therapy dogs.
That sounds like a winner, too. It's a good idea.
Absolutely. It covers all the bases, and small.
Yeah.
Almost 10 pounds. And they've become a lot more popular. So they are. I've seen a lot of them on Pet Finder. You might have to drive a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
I'd do it again if I were to get another one.
They are adorable dogs.
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you to repeat the time and date on the Dog Health Day.
It's July 10th. That's a week from tomorrow. And I think we're starting, it goes from 9 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Next, we take a call from a listener in Champaign, line 2. Hi.
I'm looking for a Eurasia puppy, and I'm wondering if you know of any breeders in Illinois or nearby. I've been looking online and not finding.
I didn't catch that breed.
Oh, Eurasia. I was reading about it on the internet. And it sounds like an ideal dog for a pet. It's Eurasier.
Well, I'm afraid you've stumped me on that one.
Me too.
Huh.
Can you Google?
It's a Chow Chow and a Case Hound and a Samoyed mixed together.
Is this a recognized breed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a Eurasia.
It must be a European breed?
German, I think, from the 60s. So you don't know of it.
We're Googling as we speak.
Okay.
To get a glimpse of this. Okay. We got a lot of coat going on with that dog, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now, is this, it's spelled Eurasia?
No, Eurasier. Eurasia.
Okay.
Sort of a combo, Europe and Asia together, but Eurasia. So the end is I-E-R.
I-E-R. Okay. All right. We got it coming up here.
Oh, good.
All right. Oh, yeah, they look very much like a chow.
Yeah.
They're a part of the Spitz family.
Right, so they're mixed, a mix, and apparently they're very gentle and intelligent and sort of medium-sized dog. It sounds like a wonderful dog, but I haven't been able to find any breeders other than California and Massachusetts, so I just called to see if you knew of any.
No, and, you know, it's interesting because I think Jim and I both have a very good knowledge base of dog breeds, but this one I've not heard of, nor have I seen.
Okay. Well, I understand you have some Malamutes. Alternatively, maybe we'll find another breed. Do you recommend a Malamute as a pet?
I talked to a woman once years ago for an hour.
Yeah.
And she finally said to me, if these dogs are so terrible, why do you have so many of them?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, if you're with me through the hour of why you shouldn't have one, then I'll tell you why you should.
Oh. okay.
But Malamutes are tough dogs. They're extremely strong.
Uh-huh.
And they're given to dominance, not with people, but with other dogs.
Uh-huh, I see.
We gave a dog to a friend once. I said, do not tie this dog out. I mean, not only on general principles, but don't tie this dog out. A week later, he came to me complaining. He had tied the dog to his back porch, and it had pulled the back porch out from the house.
Oh, my gosh.
That was with his neck.
Oh, dear.
So
this is not for the inexperienced dog owner. This is
I wouldn't make it my first dog, no. They're very strong, but... they're very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, yes. And they're beautiful.
And they tend to be large, and they're not the smartest dog in the world for what you want them to do, but for what they want to do, they figure things out fairly quickly. So No, I generally don't recommend them. But if, again, if you stick with me for an hour and I tell you all the reasons not to have one, okay. Then there are many good reasons to have one.
Okay. Well, thank you. I wonder if, just very quickly, I don't want to take all your time, if we don't find a Eurasier, is there a medium-sized dog that's very gentle that you would recommend for an inexperienced dog owner like myself?
Well, the Eurasier, did you say there was Keeshand in it?
And Chow?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No offense to my Chow friends, but most of the Chows I've met have not been... they're not mean or rotten.
They're not snuggle bunnies.
No, they're kind of aloof.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
But Keeshans, on the other hand, mm-hmm. are wonderful dogs. They're very friendly. One problem with them is the ones I know kind of yap a lot.
Uh-huh.
How about you, Carol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but their qualities outweigh that negative.
Okay.
And there is Keeshan Rescue right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right here in Champaign-Urbana.
Right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ah. Okay.
And she's got a lot of very, very nice dogs.
Okay. Would they be in the phone book?
Google Keeshand Rescue, and her name will pop up.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your help.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. And there is a website that I found here, fluffydogs.com. And I got
those
there
are always
by
good ones.
Eurasier dog breed. I Googled that. And there's a word of caution here. There are Eurasier breeders who are not part of any breed clubs, and some unethical ones might even breed Chow Chows with Keeshounds and try to pass the offspring off as Eurasier dogs. Beware of such breeders, because that's not a Eurasier dog. The breed has existed and been in development for over 40 years. Therefore, it's not just two breeds mixed together anymore. So,
who knew?
Yep. So probably some further research would be.
Fluffydogs.com.
Yeah.
I forgot what it takes. I think it takes about 10 generations of breeding before you dogs, before you get a consistent dog from.
And the doodle is the perfect example, because you cannot breed a doodle to a doodle and get something that looks like a doodle. I mean, and so now, because I have one and I see so many, then people now are proud of the fact that it's F1 generation, which means it's a poodle and a golden cross. And F2 and F3, it's odd.
Let's take another call. Piatt County, line 4, hi.
Oh, hello. I was with some people who had dogs but certainly aren't experts. And they were talking about dog training, which I was interested in. And one person said that she had heard about Bark Busters.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're out of Australia. And she said that she had heard, it was based on a woman who was upset that people were returning their dogs to the pounds because they didn't know how to handle them. And that's why it was created. And I was just wondering your opinion about Bark Busters.
I know one person. We don't have a Bark Busters franchise here, and that's what they are. They're franchises.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Bloomington.
Yeah, what she was talking about, that one.
Yeah, and somebody that I know did use it. He had a very dog aggressive German Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
and it's quite expensive. You do get one on one. They do come to your house and work with you. He had not yet seen results, but his problem is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's your issue.
Oh, well, I was just listening to them, because they had
okay.
One person was saying, no, you've got to use treats and train your dog that way. And the other person was a physical, to jerk their collar. And so I was just interested.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the training methods Bark Buster utilizes. You might want to utilize Google.
Yeah.
And see how they – but this gentleman did have a very – his dog couldn't coexist with his girlfriend's Bichon. It was not pretty. So he had them – I think there's a lifetime guarantee, but it's
– Yeah, the person was saying it's a lifetime guarantee,
yeah.
And I thought, well, that seems odd. But anyway, I mean,
well, that – I have my own view on lifetime guarantee, because if it worked, they wouldn't give you a lifetime guarantee. But
well,
that's –
I was thinking that myself.
It's just the skeptic in me that sometimes pops out. So
yeah, right. Well, I just wanted your opinion as a trainer. So thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. And next we take a call from a listener in Champaign. Line 1, good morning.
Good morning. I have a dog training question.
I have a little 18, 19-month-old dog who's now starting her sixth class at DTCCU. I've learned something new and different with every instructor, and I think they've all been fantastic. My last dog that I took through training, this is the class that she dropped out halfway through, because we're going to train them now without treats, or we're going to start withdrawing treats. This is the novice level class. And so we just got notified by the instructor after the first class, oh, your dogs are wonderful, da-da-da-da-da. But now we need to start taking treats away. And so I'm having these remembrances of my other dog. She literally stopped having fun in class. She was labeled food motivated from birth. And when she wasn't having fun, I wasn't having fun, and so we dropped out. So I just, I know all trainers are different. I kind of wanted to know your opinion in any way that I might deal with this. And then it seemed like it sort of conflicts with the other advice, which is find the absolute most fantastic treat in the world to bring to class so they're motivated. So I wondered if you could comment on that.
Well, I'll jump in here real quick, and I'm sure Jim will as well. But when you, it depends on your goal. If you are going to enter AKC obedience trials with your dog, no, that you cannot use treats in the ring. And I don't know if that's your goal, then that helps you achieve that goal, because you can't train with treats day after day and then enter a trial and they're gone. It'll confuse the dog. But if that's not your goal, then I don't see any reason why you would not want to continue using treats.
I'm thinking of going rally. I mean, this dog is, she has a different personality than my other dog. She's a smaller terrier mix, and she's very interested and motivated and smart and quick learner. So she is different from the other dog, but mm-hmm. I don't know anything about Rally. I thought she would like it, and I thought it would be fun.
Oh, Rally is a great deal of fun.
I don't know how the treats would play into that.
In competition, there's no competition that I'm aware of where you can use treats.
Okay,
but you can use them in training. And so what you want to do, when don't go cold turkey, but start to wean the dog. Don't reward it every single time, but at different times. So they never know exactly when the treat's going to appear.
Okay.
Jim, why don't you jump in?
How do you feel about it? When you're trying to train a dog, and unless you have a dog that speaks perfect English, and I mean perfect English, you're going to have to mark the behavior that you want with something. If the dog really likes you and really likes being praised, then if you say sit and they sit, you go, oh, what a great dog. And the dog wags its tail and is really happy and really wants you to say that. You don't need food treats for that kind of dog. Most dogs, though, well, let me not talk about most dogs. Let me talk about Malamutes. If you're happy, they're happy. If you're not happy, they're still happy. So pleasing you isn't real high on their list of things to do. So to get them to sit, very often you take a cookie, hold it over their head, and they try to get the food and they sit. And when they do that, you say sit and plop the food in their mouth. The treat is to mark the behavior that you want the dog to do. But, for example, if you're going into Rally, you can't use treats. The idea of using treats is to train the dog to do something later without treats. And I'm sure when you get to the novice level, that's your goal, because at the end of novice, if you're successful in the novice class, you can go into Rally or you can go into obedience trials. So the idea in novice is, okay, you've trained the dog using treats. Let's start pulling the treats back and seeing if the dog will sit without doing anything, you know, without giving them food or anything. So it's just the progression. As Carol said, if you're not interested in showing the dog and all you want is a dog that, you know, sits when you give it a treat, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, as long as you carry treats with you all the time. But as Carol pointed out, if a dog expects a treat for doing a behavior and you don't give them the treat, then we call that a negative correction. A positive correction is like a collar jerk. You know, you're adding something bad when the dog doesn't do what you want. A negative correction is when you take away something good when the dog doesn't do what you want. So if the dog is used to getting a cookie every time it sits and you don't give it a cookie, you are in effect correcting the dog, and the dog goes, well, why didn't you give me the treat? And many dogs will start offering different behaviors. So, oh, I sat and I didn't get a treat. Maybe if I sit and lay down and roll over, I'll get the treat.
Mm-hmm. That would be my older dog.
Yeah.
It goes through her repertoire of the few things she knows.
And the big, 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 big disadvantage of using treats is stopping using treats and having the dog still do the behavior. That's why we praise at the same time we give treats, mm-hmm. so you can phase out the treats and still use your voice as praise. But that's why they're doing it. The novice class, the goal is to have the dog work in a happy way without treats.
Okay, thank you very much. That was helpful.
You're very welcome. And now we've got a question that's come in through the email address, and it is this. Good morning. My family, wife and three young children, and I just moved to a house on several acres south of Champaign-Urbana, and we'd like to get a dog, maybe more than one dog, for companionship, as well as for alerting us when strangers or other animals are around. I'd like the dog to be good with kids, but also protective. Any suggestions?
You know, a breed that I really, really like is Dobermans. I like Doberman Pinschers. Mm. The ones I've encountered over the last few years, they're wonderful personalities. They are imposing enough that they appear that they would be protective, and people tend to be a little cautious of them, but they're wonderful dogs. I really like them. Hmm. And getting a dog as a puppy, or even an adult Doberman, I think, what do you think, Jim? I just really like that breed. I like Rotties, too. I like Rottweilers.
I think Dobes are a little easier. Mm-hmm. If these folks haven't had dogs before, Doberman's easier to deal with. Although, you know, the Rottweilers are fine. But Rottweilers are big.
And if they were going to go out and purchase one, they'd, of course, want to make certain that they got a dog that has good temperament in its background and so forth. But I just like that breed.
Another suggestion would be Golden Retriever.
They're not protective. And if that's what...
They're protective enough. Yeah,
I think any dog is going to be a good protector.
Exactly. Yeah. And Golden will alert to mm-hmm. the presence of strangers. They are somewhat protective. And they're wonderful family dogs.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Weimaraner?
Another one. They're a good family dog.
Yeah, that's what we had as kids.
They look so strange, though.
She was... They do not. They're
they do
beautiful.
Too.
Anyway, she was a wonderful dog, and she wouldn't allow us to fight among ourselves. How about that?
Dogs don't like it when people or children fight.
Yeah.
It's
so
stressful.
She was a good protector, mm-hmm. but very active dog. So if the kids are old enough to be out, and I would encourage a fenced-in
Yeah,
area,
when they said a couple acres, you know, then
you'd have to,
fence.
Yeah, you need some kind of fence. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to cover everything. Mm-hmm. But then you can have the kids out with the dog, and the whole family can be out there, and everybody can be having fun.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's next go to another caller. We're going to go next to line two, McLean County. Hi. Line two? Okay. Let's go to... Shirley, line four. Hi, where's Shirley?
Shirley is just outside of Bloomington.
I wondered if that was the name of the caller, but it's not.
No, it's Shirley,
no,
Illinois.
Shirley,
you were mistaken, Carol.
Don't call me Shirley.
Okay.
Well, my question is very similar to the question you just answered. I, too, live on a farm. I raise a lot of fowl, chickens, turkeys, and so on, and they're very, very tame. I just lost my beautiful Tom to a coyote right in the backyard. I've lost stuff to minks, coons, and so on and so forth. What do you think about a heeler? A friend of mine has a beautiful red heeler, very wonderful personality, but I've heard that they can be a little persnickety. They need to be socialized. And what are the odds of a puppy learning its place in the barnyard and not... deciding to roughhouse with my fowl, maybe like a blue or a red heeler?
Listen to me as I mumble. Heelers are...
Where is Kathy when we need her?
Yeah, yeah. We have literally the woman who wrote the book on cattle dogs.
She really did.
Called. living here in town. When you were saying it, though, what I was thinking of is something completely different, like a Pyrenees.
Oh, see, I thought he was looking for a protector of his flock of fowl, mm-hmm. too.
Or a Commodore, or Western cattle ranchers, especially sheep ranchers, will get a Pyrenees or a Commodore or the Pyrenees. These are not necessarily herding dogs. They're not. They're herd protection dogs.
Right.
Now, and there's a big difference between that and fowl. A puppy raised around birds, I believe, you know, will grow up learning to respect them, especially if you let the birds beat him up. And the dog never gets over that. However big the dog gets, he still thinks he's smaller than the birds.
Sure.
A Heeler is a good dog. They're herding dogs. So
they will herd your chickens
around.
They'll
herd the birds around. But that's probably okay. In terms of protection, almost anything will keep a coyote away. I have to say a Heeler is a little small, though. My brother had a Shih Tzu years ago, and mm-hmm. a coyote, he lived in a housing development, and he was right on the edge of it, and there was a farm next to him. And a coyote came in his yard and grabbed his Shih Tzu, and he ran after the coyote who eventually dropped the Shih Tzu. The problem was it was December and he had just gotten up and he was still in his underwear. Coyotes can be fairly large animals, and a Heeler can be fairly big too, but not as big as a coyote. And coyotes realize there are no veterinarians out there to take care of them, so they don't like to get into fights because a small injury will mean their death. Or it can mean it. So a Heeler is not a bad idea. It's just not a dog that I would think of immediately in terms of protecting your flock.
And what about socializing with other people? Do they tend to be a little aggressive with strangers?
Mm-hmm. No.
We have several people in the club that have, and I hope we're talking about the same dog, Heelers and
cattle
dogs are generally the same dog. Right. These are her dogs love me, so I've got to say the ones I know are very friendly.
And you know, every breed of dog needs to be socialized when they're puppies. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Some more than others, but they are a little more aloof, perhaps. But the ones that we see, because they're at the club all the time, they're just great.
Yeah. So no, I don't think they have the temperament problems. It's just the way you raise them and socialize them.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your information. It's
sure.
Show.
You're very welcome. And next we take a call from a listener in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Hi. Very shortly, like in 2 weeks, my daughter and her 125-pound bull mastiff is going to be sharing my house for a while till she finds a house. And I have a very kind of shy mixed breed that was abused and I got from the shelter. I've had him a long time, about 7 years, but he's just not the bravest guy. And we tried getting the dogs together in a neutral place, and that worked fine. Her dog and my dog just kind of ignored each other. We took my dog into her fenced-in backyard, and they seemed to be doing okay, but my daughter went in the house, and her dog stretched out in the grass, and my dog walked over, and her dog really came up roaring and going after my dog. Do you have any suggestions on how to get two only dogs adjusted to the fact that they are going to be sharing a house?
Wow.
And I can give you guys 2 minutes.
Oh. Okay, I'd keep them separated for the first week or so. Don't let them share a room. Walk them together. Uh-huh. Jimmy, have any ideas?
Well, you introduced them in a neutral place.
We did that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was good. I think since the Mastiff will be on your property, he's not going to be as protective.
Okay.
I would have expected him to react when your daughter was there, not when she wasn't. But maybe she has control over him, and when she's not there, he does what he wants.
And my dog is a neutered male, and hers is a spayed female.
That's better, the different genders, opposite genders. But
well, this is totally unscientific, by the way. But in our, we have a lot of dogs, and when we neuter a male, the other males seem to accept it. The females are the ones that attack the neutered males.
That was how it was.
Yeah, and I believe it's because the testosterone, to dogs, that you're either a male or not a male. And they tell that by the level of, they can smell the testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And so when you neuter a male, their testosterone goes way down. And so they start to smell like a not male. And in a wolf pack, there are several dominance hierarchies set up. One is the males, one's the females, and one's everybody. So the spayed female is going to view the neutered male as a female and wants to be dominant to it and boss it around, not realizing that it's really not in her hierarchy at all. But I would keep them separated.
But
Carol,
I would walk
said,
them together,
walk
you
them
know,
together.
On leashes, and don't get yourself so uptight and stressed as well as your daughter, because the anxiety will transmit to the dogs.
Do you have a big crate for the Mastiff?
The Mastiff has two rooms that we're going to shut off.
Okay.
And I think permanently she's not going to come on my dog's side of the house.
Yeah, and they may turn out to be fast friends. Who knows?
I love that optimistic view. Because
yes, that's me.
Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. And there, we've got to wrap it up. We're out of time. And our thanks this morning to dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.